Pastor Phil here again from Hartford City Church. Welcome to our podcast, which is recapping our Romans Bible study on Wednesday nights. This is episode 3. The section in Romans we are dealing with is Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through chapter 3, verse 8. For our study guide, we are using N.T. Wright's material called Romans for Everyone, and that is something you can pick up through Amazon or online, and it can be used as an individual study as well as a study guide for our group that we're doing every Wednesday night. So first of all, let me read the text for today and then give you a recap of what we discussed at last week's Bible study. The title of this chapter in N.T. Wright's book is God's Determined Faithfulness. Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 17. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. If you then, who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you have become as though you had not even been circumcised. So then, if those who are not circumcised keep those law requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is a circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. So what advantage then is there in being a Jew, or what value is there in circumcision? Well, much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I am using a human argument. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's faithfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderously claim, that we say, let us do evil, that good may result. Their condemnation is just. So in this section, week 3 of our Bible study, we talked about how labels can be misleading. How often we get a label on something and what's inside the package doesn't really match what the label says. And there's many kind of labels we have. The Jews wore their Jewish label as a source of pride. And Paul's trying to point out just because you're a Jew outwardly doesn't really make you a Jew on the inside, that it's what's on the inside that counts. And of course, we today as Christians, we know we fall into the same type of pattern where we have the name Christian or we have something that's labeled Christian, but the contents of our lives or the content of whatever it is that's called Christian is not really matching up to who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ taught. And so just like the Jews, by their behavior, were damaging the name of God in the world, we as Christians have also damaged the name of God in the world by acting the way that we act, by acting foolish, by being judgmental, by being condemning of groups, by not living according to the word that God has entrusted to us. So the accusation Paul is making against the Jews, and Paul himself was a Jew, he's even accusing his former self, is that our actions didn't match our words, but rather our actions really reveal the true character of our heart. In Romans 2:24, Paul quotes Isaiah 52:5, where the prophet Isaiah critiqued Israel for exactly the same thing, that you're damaging God's reputation. What is the damage? It gives people an excuse not to believe in God. It causes Christianity and the message of the gospel to be dismissed. It gives the wrong picture of who God is when we know that in Jesus, he gives us the perfect picture of who God is. Sometimes we also know that the actions of a few affect the reputation of the whole. So certainly when Paul was condemning the Jews for stealing or robbing the temples and whatnot, not every Jew was doing that. Some of the temples in Rome were temples that sold idols or items that were related to the different gods that they served. So because the Jews didn't believe in their gods and dismissed them as foolish and irrelevant, they also excused themselves for robbing from those temples because it wasn't really God anyhow. So they used their belief or their disbelief in other gods. They used their religious arrogance, if you will, to justify doing something that was wrong. It's still wrong to steal, no matter who you're stealing from. Of course, Paul isn't talking about everyone. But sometimes we have to acknowledge that the sins of a few can affect the reputation of us all. Think, for instance, of police departments in recent history, both in America and in Great Britain as well, where the actions of a few police officers have caused damage to the reputation of the entire police force. And we could say, well, that's not fair, well, that's not fair. But at the same time, we're all part of the same group. We should all maybe take responsibility and say, you know what, we need to be better. So as Christians, it's easy for us as well to say, oh, well, those are those Christians, those are those crazy Christians, or I'm not like one of those Christians. Well, maybe there's a place for us to say, you know what, maybe we need to take the responsibility to make things right upon all of us. So while we don't think it's fair to take the blame of a few and the guilt of a few to put on us, I still think it's what God wants us to do is to, as a group, take on the responsibility to make it right. Same is true of racism in America. Many people say, well, my parents didn't own slaves, or I didn't own slaves, or I've never done anything racist to someone, or I'm not prejudiced. That's all fine and good, but we all live in a society that has benefited from the privilege of having white skin. And so we are all complicit in a way because we choose not to acknowledge the damage that has been done to communities of color. But we get so caught up in feeling angry because people are making us feel guilty. Well, maybe we weren't the ones that actually did the crimes, but we are part of that same group. And so maybe the most Christ-like thing would be to not feel like we have to take the blame, but we can take the responsibility for making things right. But maybe there are ways we need to take the blame as well. I think Paul is saying, check your heart. We need to check our hearts, regardless of our culture, our background, our identity ethnically or culturally or gender-wise or whatever, or by the color of our skin. What we really need to look at is our heart, and we really in our heart need to be changed and transformed and do the right thing. You know, that's what we're all called to do. Paul, in talking about the Jews, uses the term circumcision, which we know is that procedure that's done to male boys. And it was a source of pride for the Jews. And of course, we think, well, that's kind of weird. Isn't that a private thing that people don't really see? Well, remember in the culture at that time, there was a lot of men's only gatherings in the Roman baths, in the first Olympics athletic events. You know, so there were opportunities where men, you know, could see each other in the full, as it were. It might be akin to someone having a tattoo today that kind of is this identifying marker. But he's saying, listen, don't take pride in just your physical marker, but really look at your heart, because the true circumcision is a circumcision of the heart. What does that mean? It means that our heart is marked for God. That's the most important thing. We can do whatever marks we want on our body to show our allegiance to God, but it's really our heart is what matters. I believe Paul is also saying that the spirit of the law is more important than the letter of the law. And in fact, he's saying if people who didn't even know what the law said, they still did the right thing, isn't that more important than actually having the words of God? And it's interesting, too, the phrase that he uses, that the Jews were entrusted with the word of God. Entrust is such an interesting and powerful word. If I were to entrust someone with something valuable, then I give them something that I want them to protect and guard, and I want them to take that where I want it to go. Things we are entrusted with today, we are entrusted with our children. That means that we're to guide them, to help raise them, but we don't own them. To be entrusted with something means you don't own them, but you're supposed to guard and protect them and use them in the right way. So God has entrusted his word, this message of Jesus Christ, this message of salvation to us. We don't own the word of God, but we're responsible to guard it and to treat it faithfully and to share it with others. You see, Jews were supposed to be the light of the world. God promised Abraham that he would bless him into a great nation. And Abraham is the father of all Jewish people that have ever lived, including today. But he was going to bless them in order to be a blessing to all nations. So Israel was supposed to live in this covenant relationship with God, kind of like a marriage. Like, let's show the world what it looks like when humans and God live together in a loving relationship. And the Jews just failed. They failed miserably. The law couldn't do it. The letter of the law always kills, but the spirit is what gives life. Amen. So we just realize that we often fail to live up to the covenant and agreement that we made with God. But what's so amazing and what's so incredible is that God is always faithful to his covenant to us. God is not going to break faith with us. He's going to fulfill all of his promises. And Paul's going to develop. This is difficult to understand, and I don't fully understand it, but all the promises God made to the Jews, he is still going to fulfill. But in Christ, through the teachings of the New Testament, all of those promises God made to the Jews are for us today. And in Christ, we see the fulfillment. Christ basically was not only showing us how to live as a human being, he also retained his own Jewish identity. So he was showing the Jews how to be the best kind of Jew that they could be. But again, in a covenant, you make a commitment to someone that is not based on what they do. If I'm in a contract with someone, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, then the contract's broken. It's null and void. But in a covenant, if the other person doesn't do what they say they're going to do, I'm not free from my commitment because the covenant I made was that I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. And God is faithful to his covenant, and God is faithful to his promises, and God will always be faithful. So it's interesting that in the book of Romans, as Paul is going to discuss this kind of faithfulness, what is faith, and a faith that saves us, it's worth considering, well, which faith are we talking about? Because Paul says we are saved, you know, through faith in Christ. But it could also be translated, we are saved through faith of Christ. So let's also remember that it's Christ's faithfulness to God that saves us. It's the faith of God that saves us. What does that mean when we think about that God has faith in us, that God has entrusted us with his word, that God has entrusted us with the Holy Spirit, that God has entrusted us with the responsibility to be the light for the world, that God has entrusted us to be the expression of love to each other, to our neighbors, even to our enemies and to the world. It can sound kind of overwhelming and daunting, but it's also comforting to know that because I'm human, I'm going to fail. Everyone fails. That if I consistently choose to ignore God, then I'm going to wander off into all kinds of bad places, mentally, emotionally, and physically. But that if I desire to be faithful to God, that God's faithfulness is going to sustain me, even when I'm not faithful. That God is going to be faithful to me no matter what. That God is going to be so faithful that he's going to lovingly do everything that's needed to correct me, to heal me, to bring me to the place where God wants me to be. This section is really awesome in getting us into this idea of a righteousness that comes through faith. But again, we're focusing first and foremost on Jesus Christ, who is the picture of God's righteousness, perfect righteousness, who is the picture of faith, of how it looks for a human to live in faithful obedience to God. And it's that faith of Jesus Christ, the way he lived his life, that is a big factor in what saves us. We also have a choice to make. There's no doubt about that. But in Christ, God has chosen us. And maybe it's good to remember that fact as well. So thanks again for listening to the recap. Please continue to check back, and I will post the recaps as soon as possible after each week. If you'd like to read the book of Romans on your own, you can get the same study guide we're using, Romans for Everyone, and you can do it as an individual study, or you can join us in person on Wednesday nights in Manchester, or you can get the Zoom link. Just reach out to me through the website. You go to hartfordcitychurch.com, and you can send me an email. On all of our social media, you can send me messages on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you're using. If you want to send me a message and with any questions or need help getting any resources, I'd be happy to do that. So may God bless you all. May today you just continue to remember that God is faithful to us, even when we are not faithful to Him. And that God wants us to truly be changed from the inside out. That instead of just having a word to say about things, that we would have a life that matches our words. And that both our life and our words would always be about love. Love for God, love for each other, and love for ourselves. God bless you with His love today. See you next time.